Hey, podcasters, Claresy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Matt's song for Jamie Oliver.
Is the second child in your family the naughtiest?
Wildcat skipper Damian Martin joined us.
And does homeschooling actually work?
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA.
Well, he's going to join us tomorrow, the one and only Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realise what a big star he was. I mean, I've been watching him on and off for years. I've seen a couple of his cooking shows. I've seen a couple of his shows where he's gone to the States and in Britain trying to get people to eat better and shop better.
Yeah. Yeah, the kids eating healthy.
So, you know, obviously I know who he is and all that. But walking down through sales department yesterday... Yeah. And one of our colleagues went, "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, just getting ready for Jamie Oliver tomorrow." And oh my God.
Oh yeah, game changer.
It was like I don't know, I've said God is him or herself is walking in.
Well, the chefs are the new rock stars.
Yeah.
And when we had Maggie Beer in here a couple of years ago, the line of staff lining up saying, "I want to get my photo with her, I want to get her to sign something," was bigger than any rock star we've ever seen in this place.
But it happens if Rick Stein's in here or Colin Fastenage or any of those guys, even Manu, you know, I mean, those guys have gone to another level of fame, but they are the new rock stars the last probably 10, 15 years, probably 15 years.
Yeah, every head popped up from the desk going, what time? Would we be allowed to meet and get a selfie? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, you'll have to ask. But
yeah, and we talk about little old Perth being so isolated cap city, but to have two people of the level of fame of Eminem and Jamie in the city at the same time is quite rare.
I wonder if they know each other.
Well, I love Jamie might make a guest appearance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Anyway, tonight. Of course, I was inspired by that.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
So I thought I've got to write a little ditty for him.
Cool. Okay.
Which we will play for him tomorrow if you guys think it's worth it.
Oh, I think, let's have a listen.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, here it is. Matt's song for Jamie Oliver.
Well chuffed. Brilliant. Bob's your uncle.
Jamie, please help me get my kids to eat their veg.
It's obviously an acquired taste. I love it.
Jamie, your 15-minute meals put me on edge.
All I've literally got to do, jiggle it about.
Your cooking is beyond compare. Essex accent, mop of hair. Your recipe's so easy, I feel dumb. Your souffle comes out A-OK. Bang is a mash, yeah. I would pay an apron wearing sex machine, says my mum.
The question is, how do you like your balls?
I've seen you make good Yorkshire pud. Use evil Brussels sprouts for good. Jamie, are you real or just a dream? Encourage kids to eat good food. Guilt parents into buying fruit. A nutrition superhero called Jamie. Jamie. For doing pub grub, you got an MBE.
You can't just sit there sort of poking it around, okay?
Jamie. Came to mind for tea, would you judge me? Would you, Jamie?
I love it. It's brilliant. Well chuffed.
Nice. I hope that's how he reacts to the song.
I think he'll
love
it.
Yeah, and I think he'll love it. I forgot about how big the 15-minute meal thing was.
Yeah.
You can do it quickly.
That's one of those cookbooks that everyone's got.
Yeah.
Very few people have opened.
I make 15-minute sandwiches.
Do you?
No, toasted sandwiches in less than 6 minutes.
Actually, you're right. A lot of people will get those books and they're sort of like coffee table books. You don't really cook from them. But it's cool to have them.
Absolutely.
Oh, there you go.
Looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, one of the original rock stars of the kitchen.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
The issue of homeschooling here in the West.
Yes, I wonder if you're being homeschooled, if it gets to 44 degrees, do you get to go home?
Do you go to school? It's a bit different, isn't it?
This is a really interesting topic. Of course, not having children of my own, I'd never really thought about this. But, you know, we hear stories about school sizes, classroom sizes, and kids not getting the attention that they deserve or need.
Right.
So, in some ways, you can see that homeschooling would be wonderful. But then are they getting the socialization that they need?
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what requirements do parents need to have? Do you need to be a qualified teacher? But clearly not. You just need to make sure they follow the syllabus and achieve certain results.
Yeah, you follow the curriculum. But yeah, they're saying homeschooling up 65% from 5 years ago in WA.
Starting from a fairly small base numbers-wise, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's only about over 3,000, nearly just shy of 4,000 people in WA that are being homeschooled right now. But that's 65% higher than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're saying lots of that is to do with some sensory processing disorders too.
Yes,
that, you
sure.
know, lots of kids are having trouble these days with just processing information. And so those better homeschooled because they get more one-on-one tuition.
If you're watching the news or a current affair type show and you see a story come on, you can sense if you're in a room with other people that people start judging when a story about homeschooling comes on straight away.
Yes.
Don't you get that kind of air about how it is and go, oh, how does that work? And I saw a story come on recently and there was a couple of kiddies being homeschooled.
Aren't the two guys from MKR homeschooled?
Apparently they were.
Yeah, they look it.
I don't even get them a new school now.
Well, that's it. I guess there's been those sort of jokes about being homeschooled in the past, but they're probably getting the education everybody desperately wants.
Yes.
We've had a phone call from Tony from Hocking. G'day, Tony.
How you going?
You've got a couple of kids who are homeschooled.
Yes, I do. I've got a daughter and a son. We've homeschooled them for probably the last 4 years. And our reason was we were playing Russian roulette with their lives. We were sending them to school thinking they were going to be safe.
Yep.
And they were being bullied. My daughter got thrown into a brick wall.
My son
got hit over the head with a cricket bat. Brought it to the principal. Boys will be boys.
Right.
Oh, really?
Not in my...
Oh, that online.
Yeah. Well, Claire, you'd know. It was like that at Greenwood. You know, something went wrong. It was boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But the thing is, people have got this idea that homeschooling kids are kept in the closet or in a dark place. They're not. My daughter dances 6 days a week. My son plays 10-pin bowling. They get their socialising with people at bowling, at dance. You know, we meet up on, like Matt said, on hot days, do they go to school? Yes. We take them down the beach.
Yep.
And we may do a science project down the beach.
Right.
Or,
yep.
So they do get the education. We have a strict curriculum that we need to stick by. We get a moderator coming out once a year.
Yep.
And if you're not keeping up with it, well, then you get three chances, and then they make me put them back to school.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm, big commitment by the parents, too. It's a big task to take on, Tony.
It is a big commitment, but at what price do you put on your kids' lives?
Sure.
That's the way we looked at it.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed, Tony, and it happened a little with my daughter, was that it's not just boys wanting to smash each other. The word smashing has become a thing for teenage girls.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
It's every, you know, and the thing is, I blame the education department because of the amount of kids in classes.
That's what Matt was saying.
But there's not enough teachers to keep an eye. Like, when my daughter's at school, girls would follow other girls into the toilet.
Yeah.
That's where they'd hit them.
Yeah.
And then they come out and it's, oh, no, are you sure that they hit you? Well, she's got a black eye. Of course they hit her.
Yeah. We appreciate your call, Tony.
Yeah, good on you, Tony.
Wow. And there's another caller, Jane from Morley. Morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Jane, you've been homeschooling for 15 years.
Yeah, that's right.
How's that working out? That's an incredible commitment.
Well, it's the same as commitment as parenting, really. It's sort of an extension of that. My eldest has chronic dyslexia and she and school were a really bad fit.
Sure.
So moving her out of school was probably the safest and kindest decision that we could make for her. And our son ended up having dyslexia as well, so we just went with it.
Okay,
yeah,
and how did they go? I mean, did they achieve what you hoped they would achieve in their education?
Oh, look, we don't try and put an end goal on them.
Sure.
So, but nevertheless, I'm impressed with how they've come out and doing really, really well. I think the major thing with homeschooling is that you're not caught up in the curriculum freight train and you have to just keep on powering on.
Nice.
If your child needs some space to learn, you can do that and you can find the way that they learn themselves.
Oh, okay,
And give them that elbow room and freedom. It's not that you don't do all the basics and you have to be disciplined in some areas, but giving kids, especially with special needs or learning difficulties or just really socially and emotionally damaged from those kind of environments, having time is just fantastic.
I think what you're saying about the curriculum here, you don't have to move at the same, the general class is moving at, that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, I don't envy school teachers' positions. Yeah, I don't envy school teachers' positions. They have a hell of a job trying to keep up with the expectations of a system that's there for a generalised education. And there's only really a small percent of the children in that classroom who will excel in that and fit that mould. Everybody else is either bored, witless or left behind. So, you know, having the ability to be able to tailor make and fit my child's education is terrific. And, you know, she was told that she had no focus and wasn't going to go anywhere, and she now is a horticulturalist and a very well awarded emergency service volunteer. So, you know, if you give somebody the time and the space, they can really excel.
Well, there you go. You have answered my question there, Jane. Yeah. She achieved great things. So well done.
Well done, Mum. Good job, Jane.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
I'd learn a thing or two as well. You know, when your kids say, hey, sit down, let's do homework, and you think, God, I don't know anything about that.
Division?
What was that again?
What is this new fandangle thing?
Hey, Kimber, let's go through some geography together.
Yeah, I could use the help. Thanks.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
Just having a chat with Damo here, talking about a few bits and pieces. It would have been weird to miss the playoffs for the Cats, wouldn't it? What would you guys do in the off-season?
Be looking for a new job, I dare say. No, you don't want to be a part of that team that ends the 33 consecutive years of final appearances. So, no, we'd be out the door and looking for a new contract.
Sensational, though. Back there again.
Yeah, it is. It's the best time of the year. I feel like, you know, a kid during Christmas time, you get rejuvenated, excited. And for me, you know, if I could just play fourth quarters and finals, I'd play as long as possible. But no, I can't wait for tomorrow night. It's been a long 9 days between games. So we're finally the eve of the semi-final.
What should Brisbane be most nervous about with you guys this week?
Oh, look, Bryce Cotton has hit two game winners against them over the last two seasons. So I dare say, like every other team, Bryce will be their focal point. But in saying that, you've got Nick Kay, who was just announced as a first-team All-NBL player.
Wow.
You know, you go across the board. Tirico White's been amazing all season. So you're not going to just focus on one player, but they're definitely going to spend quite a bit of time on Cotton.
Yeah.
9 days does seem like quite a large break between games. What do you do? Because presumably you can't stay high intensity for that long.
Yeah, so we actually tried to switch off completely mentally and physically for a couple of days. So we had no training on court. And then we still focused. We reviewed our Melbourne game, so our last game of the regular season, even though we may not play them again, but we wanted to keep our routine similar. But in saying that, we're all human. All we can think about is Brisbane. Yeah. So we're watching the mistakes we made against Melbourne, but in the back of our head, we're like, who cares? Cam Glidden won't do that. Or the Bullets aren't going to do that. But no, and then we had the weekend off, which was really nice, a bit of time with family. Yeah. And now we're finally focused on Brisbane. We'll go to the arena after this, watch some video, about 45 minutes of scout, what to expect from them, jump on court, and then walk through how we're going to hopefully prevent it.
Mate, you said it very quickly, but that's a big thing to have two blokes in that NBL first five, isn't it?
It's massive. Brilliant. And so it's voted on by opposition coaches, assistant coaches and captains. So, you know, there's no better reward than something that's been given to you, voted on by your peers. So,
respect, isn't it?
It really is. So they're deserving of it. You know, I thought Nick Kay's been outstanding all year, but when you have someone that's so good in Bryce Cotton, everyone's in his shadow. So yeah, I thought Nick in particular was deserving of it just because it's kind of gone under the radar. But then you look at his numbers, his performances, and he's a huge reason why we finished as minor premiers.
Okay, so what I would do before any major sporting event, fill up on lollies. That's kind of the go-to. What's yours?
Lollies?
Yeah, isn't that what you do? You get your sugar, then you burn it all off. Isn't that how it works?
We'll talk off air. Things may have changed.
Coach might be listening.
Yeah, no, everyone's different. Some people are really, really focused on their diet and, you know, they won't change at all. Routine. Jesse Wagstaff, for example, I dare say he's worn the same pair of jocks since we won our championship in 2009-10.
Really?
He's as superstitious as they come.
Have you got any blokes who weigh their food? Oh, because that's that Shane Woe Woden football thing. Yeah, he used to weigh everything he ate.
Oh, really?
Oh, so scientific about
Greg Hire will go through phases where he go on different diets, whether it's a juice fad or food kick out different things in his diet. And so I dare say he would have weighed it. But anyone that's seen his glutes, he's not giving up on anything. Yeah. Like he definitely squats and he has carbs. Let's just say that. I like to just have stock standard pasta the night before. And I'm a sucker for garlic bread. So it's probably not the healthiest thing. But at dinner tonight, Brittany, my beautiful wife, will have cooked me pasta and some burnt garlic bread to go with it.
Hey, burnt garlic bread, is that her speciality, burning the garlic bread?
Well, I insist on it. So I think she did it by accident the first time and it tasted good. I was like, no, keep making it crispy. It's crispy garlic garlic bread.
I'm with you. When people, it's a bit burnt. I'm going, no, that's where the flavor comes from.
Yeah, I don't like the butter melting. I'm not sure how we're talking about garlic bread and not the basketball, but this is way more important. One thing leads to the next. It does. The garlic bread isn't burnt tonight, we don't win tomorrow.
You brought it up.
Exactly.
It's a superstition. And before you're going to stick around for a while this morning, aren't you, Damo?
Yeah, you're stuck with me for the next till about 8 o'clock.
I thought it was really sweet. Jack Bendat, the owner of the Cats, talking about the fact that if he goes, you know, because he's in his 90s, if he goes, the Cats are looked after for a period of time, and he sits at games and goes and looks at the 13,000 Red Army and goes, I can help create this. You know, I think that's pretty cool.
It really is, especially when you know everything he's achieved off the basketball court. Like, this essentially was a gift to the state of WA because of how much he'd prospered, you know, from the land, from media, everything that he made his money through. Yeah, so he thought, what can I do to give back? Bought a basketball team. He's fallen in love with it. And we've gone from 3,000 people at Challenge Stadium to 13,000 at RAC. And he should be proud of it. And it was really nice to know how touching it is because he's done so much away from the game, but knowing how much has played a part of his role.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, a University of Edinburgh study has said that while the firstborn children may have the higher IQ, the secondborn child is the naughty one.
Okay.
Mainly due to the way that our parents raise us, apparently. So we wanted to know if the second child in your family really is the naughtiest. Thanks very much for the people who called up and said, yep, the second one's in jail. Yep, the second one's a drug addict. Yep, the second one's, you know, robbing houses as we speak.
Yeah, let's go to Woodvale. Natalie, you've got the Big Breakfast and Damien Martin from the Wildcats here. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. So I have a younger brother who is definitely the one who's always getting in trouble, mainly because he's just doing stupid things and getting caught for it. But one day we were home alone by ourselves, being the responsible elder sibling. I was always left to take care of him. We were in high school, but I could smell something really strange coming from his room. So I went into his room, and there he is smoking something and blowing it out the window, thinking, oh, nobody's going to smell this. Nobody's ever going to know.
No.
Yes, been there, Madeline, been there. Oh, yeah.
Is this your sister talking?
Love it.
Oh, yeah, a bit of spray and wipe doesn't cover that, I found out.
Natalie, did you dob him in?
Yes, I did.
Oh, because you're the firstborn.
Natalie, you grass.
That's what firstborns do.
But yeah, I did, because, it's just that he just used to do stupid things, and, so.
And how's he turned out, Natalie? What's he doing now?
He's back on track. He's, got his life going. That was just a once-off type thing, I think, for him.
Not once off for second child behaviour. We understand, Natalie.
No, this is just one line of many things, of stupid things that he would do.
But, awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Nat.
Thank you, bye.
Oh, those firstborn dobbers, Bob Dobbelinas.
Yeah, aren't they? Lorraine's in Hilbert. Lorraine, is the secondborn child the naughtiest?
She is, yeah, definitely. She made bad choices as a teenager, growing up dating the wrong boys, fighting with mum, staying out all night, all those sorts of things. But I disagree with the first one being the smartest because I'm the youngest and I'm the smartest.
Hey, go girl. So you would say.
Lorraine, if the second one was out doing all of these naughty things, were you ever in her court going, hey, how can I help you? Or are you running to the parents and going, she's so naughty?
No, I was with her.
Yeah, right. Just blaming it on her.
The bad influence. Good on you, Lorraine. Thank you.
That's Lorraine, as your self-proclaimed smartest on the block.
Yeah. And it's all perspective, isn't it?
I just love that it's siblings. All these years.
Still getting stuck in.
I'd better call in. Yeah, absolutely. It was horrible 15 years ago.
And then call up the sibling. Did you hear what I said about you? And it's all true.
Hey, Damo, good luck against, of course, the Bullets, mate. Go get them.
Thanks, guys.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zy, Matt and Kimber.
I don't care what message is on your phone this morning. We don't care that much if it's your partner saying you're going to get milk on the way home or if it's details about where you're meeting your friend for M&M or you've got a girlfriend or a sister who's got a new Facebook profile photo. It's not that important while you're driving.
No.
No, it needs to wait. Doesn't matter if you're at the lights or you're driving. It's just not safe. And so look up and don't be distracted. We've all got to share the road together.
Yeah, we're joining forces with our mates at the RAC to remind you to look up. And, of course, it's a myth that it's just young people. It's yeah, all of us.
It sure is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, Matt, you've got an energy about you today that sort of is like when a parent drops their child off at you know, preschool for the first time. Well, just a bit of nervous energy,
it's
checking
funny
your phone.
You say that.
Yeah, why are you checking your phone so much?
Well, okay, because Florence is having her first day at doggy daycare today.
Oh, she made the cut.
She made the cut.
One Dalmatian locked in, eh?
Locked in.
Well done.
So, you know, yesterday, T, my partner, and Steppy D, my stepdaughter,
yep,
we took Florence to this doggy daycare for what was essentially her audition.
That's hilarious.
To get in.
You know all about auditioning.
Well, I certainly do, and I know about rejection too. And I was fingers crossed, toes were crossed,
thick
everything
skin,
was
thick
crossed.
Skin.
And of course, we went there at about 6 p.m. So they could mop the floor, sort of disinfect it, and you know, because she's young, she's had all of her injections. But you know, the dog that they chose for her to interact with, a beautiful schnoodle.
Oh, nice.
Called Elvis.
Oh, really?
And that was actually the first dog other than Flo's siblings that she's ever interacted with.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
And it went really well. And first of all, she tucked a little tail in and wasn't sure, but she's a very confident soul. And right, she was gone after that. She had her feet in the water pot bowl and all that sort of stuff.
I love this. I love that there are families right now having conversations about the fact that they want to get their kids into a good high school.
Yes.
And they're trying to get their kid auditioned for the high school in 8 years' time.
Yes.
You know, and here you are auditioning your dog to get into daycare.
Well, it was. It was because, you know,
got to pass muster.
We need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to leave her on her own.
Yeah.
She's still, you know, she's still just a baby.
Yeah.
And these people came highly recommended to us by our dog whisperer, Nat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who I'll speak about later because she's done some really interesting stuff and we'll make more of that because I'm sure people will be really interested in her techniques.
Yeah.
So Florence, she'll be in the car now in her little lead and her little harness and she'll be off to the big wide world.
Oh, beautiful. And I hear the fees are $28,862.
You know what?
MLC.
Like very reasonable considering the care and attention they get.
Good.
I felt, you know, obviously not everyone can afford it, but for us it was just, we didn't have a choice.
Well, and it's responsible pet ownership. You're doing the right thing rather than leaving her at home to attack everything.
Yes, and it won't be every day, but it's just great to know, you know, something's come up as it does when you've got a little one and you're a parent and you've got stuff on, that we've got somewhere safe that we can take her.
Can you be completely honest?
Yeah.
Has the dog tampered with any of your music gear, like your guitars or
anything? Oh, mate.
Be honest, man.
My Fender.
No!
Amp, my Acoustasonic amp.
Oh, no.
When she discovered the knobs, that was one thing. But when she discovered the Fender badge, I just went, life's over.
Well done.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Eminem is here, and tonight at Optus Stadium, you will hear a better quality version of this.
Melbourne, and you can't see it.
That is audio from his Melbourne gig this week. 80,000 fans were at the Melbourne gig.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
Breaking records.
Just over 52,000 here, I think, for the Eminem show at Optus tonight.
Okay.
And you'll be able to get Mum's Spaghetti served at Optus Stadium if you'd like. It's a $16 recipe that you can grab there. It's spicy meatball stuffed with mozzarella cheese and basil, served with spaghetti and marinara sauce.
Oh, that sounds all right, actually.
Not bad for Optus Stadium.
My sweater's dirty already too.
So get yourself some Mum's Spaghetti if you want to check it out. The gig tonight, in case you're going and you're planning ahead, check out all the information on the Ticketek website.
Yeah.
But box office opening at 4, gates open at 5:15, and then you've got the support act Boogie at 6:15, Royster59, who I don't even know how to say that. That's how much I'm not in the scene.
Oh, they're great.
6:55.
He does a cover of one of these as well.
8 o'clock, Hilltop Hoods. Really looking forward to seeing them.
Yep.
And 9:15, Eminem commences. The three of us will be asleep in our seats.
Nothing wrong with that.
Is it important to point out to people who are going that just because you're going to Eminem, you are not a gangster?
You don't have to be one.
No,
you can be a tryhard gangster.
Yeah.
Although I didn't think about how many people would be rapping along in the background. Like that Melbourne gig, there's going to be a lot of people rapping.
There'll be a lot of people joining in.
Yeah, but it'll be a really big show. So take care getting in and out. And obviously you get public transport with your ticket. So check that out.
And you think about it. You think about the pressure of an international recording artist who's a singer of getting the lyrics right. Imagine being a rapper because those mad fans will know every single word, every nuance.
Yeah, I'll know sort of some of the vibe.
Like, my name is?
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing more gangster than turning up on a Transperth bus, is there?
Oh, mate. Well, you come from the hood, didn't you?
Yo, check it. I'm touched on.
You got your hoodie on now.
Yeah.
Every year, Elton John, guys, has an AIDS Foundation charity event. He hosts a viewing party for the Academy Awards. And this year, not only did Elton and his husband, David Furnish, raise $6.3 million for the global effort to end AIDS, but Elton invited Taron Egerton, who is the actor who's going to play Elton in the biopic in May this year.
Yep.
And it was a good opportunity to get some music happening. So Taron agreed to sing if Elton John played the piano and the crowd were brought to their feet. I mean, maybe a rehearsal wouldn't have gone astray.
That sounds okay.
It was all right.
In the room, it would have been quite special.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, you know, good on them for raising all that for charity.
Absolutely.
And, Claire, an anniversary today.
Yeah, the anniversary today, 30 years since Robert Palmer played the old entertainment centre. Robert Palmer, the smooth, suit-wearing British star. And you could call him a pop star, but he played rock and he did reggae and jazz. And he sort of covered all boundaries. And you think about the fact that 30 years ago, he was a really big star, Robert Palmer. Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because he had these sexy songs going on.
Actually, when did we lose Robert Palmer?
2003. So he died of a heart attack. He was found in his hotel room in Paris. He was only 54. But so versatile, and there were the early hits as well.
Oh, that's one of my favourites.
So good.
Blues. What a great song from the late 70s. So 30 years ago tonight, a lot of people would have been stepping out, not going to Eminem. Because Eminem was a kid.
Yeah.
No, you would have been going to see a British smoothie called Robert Palmer.
Wow, that's how long it's been.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's your daily juice.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Hey! Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Maybe I'm happy that Jen King missed this one.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Because this morning we're talking about creepy, crawly insects.
Insects don't have politics. They're very brutal. No compassion. No compromise. We can't trust the insect.
Oh,
you can't trust the insect. Jeff Goldblum as the fly.
Oh,
I need more.
Just as he's being transmuted into the fly. He has one last scene with Gina Davis.
Where's Gina when you need her?
Where she's going, no, you're okay. No, he's clearly not. He's turning into a fly.
He's got multifaceted eyes.
Now, you know, none of us really like creepy crawlies, you know, others more than some, but you would not want to see cockroaches in a kitchen.
No.
No, at a restaurant that you were going to.
No.
You certainly wouldn't want to see cockroaches in a hospital.
No.
Oh, yuck.
That would not, I mean, you're already feeling poorly.
You're already up against the staph infections going around. You don't need cockroaches as well.
So a hospital in Naples have released, well, this is police suspect that they've released cockroaches into the A&E department.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In order to get a transfer.
I was wondering what you were going to say then. The what?
The A&E department. Accident and emergency.
Oh,
No. Right, okay. Well, that may happen, but I haven't got that news today. There's an embargo.
That'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, there's an embargo on that story. So apparently, militant unionists, as we love that, are saying, oh, these people, their paying conditions is terrible, which it may well be.
Yep.
So they've released cockroaches into the departments.
So
this is so grassroots.
Close it down and moved on.
It's so grassroots. The union are like, we don't know how to shut this down. We don't know how to get better pay conditions or situations for you, but we've got this great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to get a box of cockroaches.
Send in the lions.
Now, why they think police suspect this is the case and not just because it's filthy is that the cockroaches are not native to that area.
They've just ordered them on eBay.
They have.
They're kidding. They shipped them in.
Yeah, they're South American.
Oh, they're scab workers.
And they're the one. They are. They're scabs. They're breaking the line. And they're the sort of cockroaches that you'd get at a pet store to feed your snake.
Oh, really?
Or your, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they're pretty sure that
snake food.
This hasn't come from, you know, within the cavity of the walls.
Also, too, great detective work by on the cops' behalf there.
Yeah, see, you're right.
See.
You know, I would have probably just looked at it and gone, cockroaches, everybody out. Move the whole hospital.
They're just generic cockroaches.
Gone.
Love the idea of some Italian detective smoking a stogie. They're cucaracha in South America. So don't get sick in Naples.
No, that is gross. That is gross when you think about it.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hear this famous voice.
A few little things that I do to make sure it cooks beautiful every time.
Beautiful every time. Jamie Oliver's going to join us tomorrow because he's in Perth.
Yep, I know that voice.
This is great. Is it Jamie coming in to just go and do the once over on his restaurant? Just keep some eyes there, check out everybody, make sure they're doing the right thing.
Yep.
Is that what it's about?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to talk to his people. But what I'll tell you what I do know is that I mentioned to one of our you know friendly colleagues yesterday that Jamie Oliver was coming in.
Yeah.
It was like meerkats.
Yes.
I did not realise the impact that this bloke has had on people.
Level of fame after 20-something years in the spotlight.
They love him. People were like, what? Jamie Oliver? Yeah. Jamie Oliver, will he sign books? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. And he's the man of the people, isn't he, Jamie Oliver? Because he sort of is that sort of back from the Naked Chef days, which I don't think he really goes by that name anymore, does he? Doesn't
not
need
really,
to.
No.
You can just call him Jamie.
Yeah.
But just that type of easy cooking where you just throw it in, a handful of this, spot of that, nothing more.
Look at you. You actually look like you could cook there.
No,
I know,
didn't. She
right?
Said a spot said a spot of that.
Yeah. A spot of that.
Yeah, there'd be a Naked Chef thing sort of got ruled out when the Barefoot Investor became the Barefoot Investor, didn't he? He was taking gear off. But yeah, a certain level of fame. But also, he's got a restaurant there in the city, which Kimber and I went and visited yesterday.
Oh, I loved it. Went in, had some gorgonzola and pear gnocchi.
Oh, look at you.
I can never go past the gnocchi on a menu.
Yeah.
Really good.
Like a bit of gnocchi, do you?
Yeah, do.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you've got to have something pasta-ish, don't you, if you're going to Jamie's Italian.
You would think so.
Oh, ravioli to die for.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was
good,
pretty good
stuff.
Yeah, so we'll talk it up, but it was also interesting to watch staff cleaning chair legs last night.
Wow.
Because the man himself is coming to town, but they're not sure what day he's walking into the restaurant.
No, and we've said this before, the Queen thinks the world smells like fresh paint.
Yeah, of course.
You know, polishing
the bottles at the bar.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, yeah. And there was a staff member there last night at Jamie's Italian called Dana, who looked after Kimber earlier in the day.
She was fantastic.
She was still there when we had dinner.
Yeah, the staff have got it under control, so he'll be fine when he goes to visit.
He will be fine. So we're going to do something a little bit special later on this morning, I believe.
We may well do.
Not allowed to say too much.
Oh, you can say whatever you want. I wrote a song for him.
You wrote a song for the man.
Oh, the love.
What else do I do on this program?
So that's coming up a little later on this morning.
It's the way I express my affection.
There's nothing wrong with that.
RAC knows maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.